very crowded than St. Thomas Hospital is very specially privileged to have on its premise your leader and our dear friend, Bill Wilson. To have its premise held by the presence of our beloved Sister Nation, and to see Alcoholic Anonymous work furthered in the person of our dear Sister Agnes, present at St. Thomas Hospital now. Each of us have a very special common dignity, that of a human being, enjoying the ranks of the children of God. A philosopher once said that rank imposes obligation and dignity begets duty. It is a rare organization that promulgates this dignity of the human being as Alcoholic Anonymous. It is the fervent prayer of our chaplain, Father McCafferty, and all our sisters that God continues to give each of you the grace to further the dignity of human beings, that you may all serve more closely in the ranks as children of God. God bless you. Thank you, Sister Bridget. We have the Sister Generosa here. Sister Generosa is the Superior of Housekeeping. So we have Sister Agnes Marie here. Sister Agnes Marie, will you please stand so we could recognize you? Do we have Sister Mary Claire here? She isn't here. To all of these sisters, of course, the responsibilities and the obligations of this hospital, I am sure, are fulfilled very well. Sister Agnes, would you please stand so we could recognize you? To our Sister Agnes, of course, really there is no recognition needed. I believe we all feel her presence when she is around. She is sort of the big size of what was Sister Ignatia in the eyes of us alcoholics. She is a particular sort of person. I'm not just saying these things to get flowery bouquets. I believe that we, the woman alcoholic, who have been under her guidance, and of course many of these women who were admitted in the alcoholic ward, have been most privileged to have someone to counsel them, such as we have had in Sister Agnes. She, of course, is also in charge of the men's AA ward. She is in charge of admitting and being in charge of us alcoholics, believe me, isn't a pleasurable job. Sister Agnes, will you please come forward and take a few words to us, please. Reverend Fathers, dear sisters, and many, many friends, a gathering of this type is an inspiration to us. It is encouraging to know that the selfless trait of your paternal charity has not been in vain. May God continue to bless the fruit of your work and continue the generosity of your memories to complete this work in this life. God bless and bless each and every one of you. Thank you, Sister Agnes. Thank you, Sisters of Charity. I have an apology to make in addressing our honored guests. I failed to address Reverend Father Peter McCafferty. I have had the pleasure of knowing Father McCafferty before he hit St. Thomas Hospital. I think he has sort of a quiet mannerism about him. I think that we all feel very comfortable in his presence. I know I do. I believe if we needed his help, I am most assured that he would receive it. Father McCafferty, would you please address us in just a few words?
I had a very old friend once. He's dead now, God rest him. But he said that there is a connection between the spirituous and the spiritual. And I think he's right. The spirituous, of course, being the stuff you find in a bottle. There is a connection between the two. For certainly over-imbibing in the one will give you an appreciation of the other. And the over-imbibing in the one at least will give you a measure of one's capacity for love. And finding out that capacity of self-love, at least you'll be able to know and to recognize how much you can love God. At least you have a measure of your love for God by the amount of self-love that you can indulge in. So there is a connection between the spirituous and the spiritual. And since it's an ill wind that doesn't blow some good, most of you people have an idea of how much you can love God. So why don't you realize
it? Thank you, Father McCafferty. It has just been called to my attention that the Reverend Father Vincent Hawes has arrived. I remember this priest when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, and of course there isn't a long period of time behind my sobriety. But I do remember the words that were spoken of him from these old-timers within our St. Thomas group. I remember the many alcoholics that used to call him for counsel and guidance. He talked to these people as individuals. I believe he opened the souls of many alcoholics. With great pleasure, I would like to ask Father Vincent Hawes to please say a few words and address us.
Thank you very much. It's real good to be back, but I really have never been away. These AAs have a way of getting around. And, I did get to Cleveland in 58, and Sister Ignatia kept me busy ever since. I've been tied up with the group more or less. I'm sorry deeply that I haven't been back more often, but this is the way we work, one day at a time, and we move with providence. God does have a way of getting us around, but this is the work he wants to do. And, again, I want to thank all of you for the experiences I had in the program. It helped me a great deal in the priesthood. It helped me understand myself, helped me understand other human beings, and it helped me to understand how important it is to understand. For understanding is the basis, the roots, and the foundation for loving. And if we learn to love, we know what it means to live. And these are some of the fundamentals that I've learned firsthand. My first meeting that I attended at King's School years back made a deep impression upon me. I was asked to say a few words that evening, and I didn't know what to say really to such a group, except to be profoundly moved by the fact that you get such a group of men and women together, and they could talk for one solid hour about spiritual values. And I remember the talk that Bob Smith gave that evening on humility. was very impressive indeed. And I remember Jim Lamont Scott. Yeah, he was a man interested in books, old and new, a very wonderful man. And he asked me if I was coming back to the meeting, and he'd bring his daughter Jackie along. And so I said I would, and this is the way I got going back to the meeting. And I'll never forget what, I think it was Wally Gillen, who tapped me on the shoulder and said, you know, we alcoholics are very inquisitive people. Are you really one of us, or where do you fit into this picture? And I said, well, not now, but maybe sometime. He said, God forbid, but we're sure glad to have you. And I was most grateful for my years of experience in this program. And I'm sure, without a doubt, that it was providential and came at a very wonderful time. And the work will go on and on and never end. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Father Hawes. Thank you for taking the time and accepting our invitation. We are most grateful having you here. Now, we have seated at this table a lot of our early members of Alcoholics Anonymous. Each one of these persons sitting here tonight are, of course, an example of a day-at-a-time basis of sobriety. These are our power of examples. Time does not permit that each one make a comment. Nevertheless, I shall call on each member to state their day-at-a-time basis of uninterrupted sobriety, and by, of course, the amount of years that you will hear, you can most assuredly remember that if you don't take that first drink for 24 hours a day, that this does add up in sobriety. Mr. Marconi, would you please step forward so we can recognize you, state your group and your years of sobriety, please.
Well, I'm an offspring. My home group today is the Ravenna group in Portage County. And they poured me in a city hospital. I'm not alumni of this place. The latter part of August of 1939, and I haven't had a drink since. I'm grateful not only to this fellowship for it, I'm grateful to my God for it. Thank you.
Mr. Rectal from the King School Group, will you please come forward so we can recognize you?
Uninterrupted sobriety. At this time, I'll beg a little time to express my gratitude in order, first to my Almighty God in bringing me to the activity, or the activity to me, to every AA who helped me in my continuous battle with the bottle. Last but not least, to my good wife, Thelma, who has gone every step of the way with me in staging the comeback, and for the beautiful privilege of having known the patriarchs and the pioneer of the activity. It is my privilege to know everyone whose story was in the old book. Dr. Bob and Ann, who were in my home many, many times, and Bill and Lois occasionally. And also the beautiful privilege of being able to visit Dr. Bob when he was on his deathbed. The poor fellow was sick, and his nurse, Emmy, would call down to the warehouse. He was feverish. He'd like a cold melon or something he'd like to visit. This dying nobleman asked me one day, to try always to carry this torch for King School. To keep it to keep it honest, to keep it King School. So help me, Hannah, we've been hard hit by separations, other groups starting. What is once a powerful big group now is sometimes almost a handful, but so help me, Hannah, we'll keep it going. Now, a word to the good sisters. Being a local boy here in commercial life, I got to meet them all practically. Down through the years, Sister Lawrence, and many I can't recall, but later Sister Ignatia almost daily here in admitting patients and her counsel and advice and the pat on the back. Sister Canise, and certainly I must not forget good Sister Mercedes in the dark days of 1937, which hit me when ones there and dear were being taken away, there was nothing to be done about. And she would take me into her office, and the pat on the back and her canary that she called Annie Ross would sing, and all the kind words that good nun would say would never die. It makes me think of a song that my good mother used to sing. I'd be away in the summertime and come home in the fall. Your mother had a song. I can't remember it exactly, but the title is Kind Words Will Never Die. You know, your memory gets a little fuzzy over the years. And I know it went like this. Kind words will never die. God knows how deep they lie. And the kind words that some of the nuns said to me will never die.
Thank you, Mr. Russell, from the King School Group. Mr. Evans, from the King School Group, would you please step forward so we can recognize you?
My name is Bob Evans, and I am powerless over alcohol. That's so good to see you, Sister Ignatia. God bless you. Reverend Father, Pat, Reverend Pat, Sisters of Charity, I've made most of these meetings. I usually sit up in the audience. I think it's the first time I've ever been at the table. I came into this activity in December of 1936. I wasn't poured in. I was hospitalized stone sober, believe it or not. And I stayed there 7 days. And I'd be there yet if they'd kept me, because after the third day, a weight sort of fell off of me. And I started feeling a sense of tranquility and well-being that has never left me. And it's a wonderful thing. We made our surrender in the hospital on our knees by the hospital bed before we left in those days. And later on, when we got into volume on this business, a lot of surrenders were made up in the bedrooms of T. Henry Williams' house. You had to get down on your knees and say, Dear Heavenly Father, I am powerless over alcohol. My life has become unmanageable. And you ask for guidance and direction. Do those words sound familiar? Bill, that's pretty much incorporated in our first step, you know. And anyway.
Mr. Larkin, we have a Mr. George Larkin, who I understand was also instrumental in bringing our panel and having us more or less recognize the procedure of a panel discussion from the Canton to the Akron area. Mr. George Larkin from the Downtown Canton Group, I believe. Would you step forward, please?
My deepest thanks to this wonderful...
Mr. Larkin, I believe we have also an Eddie Gordon from our Cleveland area of Alcoholics Anonymous. Did you want to step forward, Eddie? So we can recognize you, please.
This is one time. I was here with Mike on Friday night, and Sister Agnes told me Friday night that Sister Ignatia would be here. Well, I said if I ever done anything in my life, I was going to be here. I know that you people, the Christian faith, Catholic and Protestant, it's nothing new for you to walk around with the prayer of St. Francis. Well, in my case, I've never been without it from the time I came in AA. And that's about the only thing that helped me. Every time I hear of all them fancy books that are written by non-alcoholics, I could jump out of a window because I got myself in quite a bit of trouble in 1948 in the winter. And I wound up at the Franciscan Fathers at 23rd and Woodland. I was pretty smart to know where I knew I'd get help, and that was my meeting with Father Giles. And he told me, you better get on your knees and start praying for the guy. You don't like him. And I had murder in my heart that night, and he threw that prayer of St. Francis at me, and I've never been without it. But this is really something that I'll treasure as long as I live. It's the only fellowship in this whole world that they don't, when you come in through the door, they don't ask you who your ancestors were. And a lot of things have happened in my life, the activity. I met Sister Ignatia when I first came down to St. Thomas. And then I had the privilege to be one of her boys down in Cleveland. But the story that I want to tell here tonight is not about myself. As a man by the name of Morris Muniz of my faith who came in the fellowship, about a year and a half or a year before I did the St. Thomas Hospital. And Morris was in about 4 days, and he saw people of all faith going to the chapel. Well, he didn't, but about the fourth or fifth day, Sister Ignatia told him, now Morris, I know what faith you're out of, and you can stand up and pray against the wall as they do in your faith. But she doesn't know that I know that story. And here's what happened afterwards. Morris Muniz got out of here, out of St. Thomas Hospital. He was sober for a long while. Until he came into St. Thomas Hospital, he was asked to stay out of the synagogue. Because even the Jews get tired of drunks. But Morris was staying sober. And after about 8 or 9 months, Morris was caught coming out of Catholic and Protestant churches by the elders of the synagogue. Again, they held a meeting. They said, now, Morris, what is it all about? We caught you coming out of Catholic and Protestant churches, and you have a kosher meat market. Do you know what you're doing? And Morris said, yes, I do. But you don't see me drinking anymore. Well, he had quite a bit of trouble with the rabbi at that synagogue in Akron, wherever it is. But Morris says one story. He says, I'm still in Akron, the rabbi left. So it comes down to, I for one, I express gratitude with my gang Friday night. I'll be indebted to the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous and the Sisters of St. Augustine as long as God keeps me around. I'll never be too busy to do something worthwhile. That goes for you too, Sister Bridget and Sister Agnes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you, Eddie Gordon, Cleveland AA. Now, of course, the next person that we have coming up here is another person that doesn't need any recognition. She's sort of been called the Mother Magdalene of Alcoholics Anonymous. And every time she gets out of line, I tell her she's got to be her power's example because she's more or less been accepted as a sorority mother to the alcoholic women. She's a particular kind of person. I don't know what you'd call her. But deep down, with all of the confusion and all of the person that makes up Madeline Voorhees, there's an awful lot of service. that has come from this woman is an awful lot of service that has been given to many women in Alcoholics Anonymous. Mother Madeline, with your purple orchid, will you stand up so we can recognize you?
I am deeply grateful to the good sisters of St. Augustine. If it weren't for them tonight, I couldn't be here saying that I am sober going into 20 years. And I am eternally grateful, let me tell you. I was in good sister Ignatia a day at a time, and that's what I've done, and I'm so grateful to her. Good sister Bridget, it's always good to see her here too, and the good sisters. And Father Haas played a great part too in my sobriety when I came in. Thank you.
Mother Madeline, Alcoholics Anonymous. And I told her that if she doesn't quit sticking around Bill Wilson for so long, there are going to be rumors around here about Mother Madeline and Bill Wilson. I would like to call George Montgomery from the Letters Park Group to the microphone, please.
To express my gratitude to the sisters, and especially Sister Ignatia. She and I had a few great times. Anyway, I can also a bill for being here. And I came in April 5th of 1942. And I've been in continuous sobriety. And I can't express my gratitude for this movement. And thank you for listening to me.
I believe this makes up for all the early members of Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank you for being here. And along with a little sense of humor that we sort of get in between the lines here. With all seriousness, I again say, we are most privileged in this era of our particular time that we again have the foundation of what is Alcoholics Anonymous. God bless our society. God bless each and every one of us as individuals. But for the grace of God, we might not be here. I would also like to have Reverend Bert McKee stand, please, so that we can also acknowledge and recognize him. It is good to see Reverend McKee back with us, especially since he has left our Akron area and went on to West Virginia. I want to give special tribute at this particular time to the Al-Anon, to those men and women who, of course, become a part of everyday living along with the alcoholic. To these particular people, I imagine their basis of survival hasn't been too pleasant, especially so in the days before Alcoholics Anonymous. To the men who are husbands of alcoholics, to the women who are wives of alcoholics, believe me, we could never have made it without your understanding, without your guidance, and with the big four-letter word that seems to convey so much to the alcoholic, and that, of course, is love and understanding. The speaker of our evening, all of you, and all of you have recognized, Bill Wilson is the kind of person that I believe all you have to do is kind of hold his hand and look up at him. And you can well imagine what this human being must have felt within the depths of his soul when somewhere a broker, completely broke, in this city of Akron, Ohio, came searching for answers for a way of living, came searching for the one other human being who could understand the depth of his despair. And of course, that was another alcoholic. The co-founders of the Society of Alcoholics Anonymous, Dr. Bob Smith, Bill Wilson, these are treasures in alcoholics. These are people who gave of themselves in unity, service, leading us to steps of recovery. What would we have done without them if they didn't take the time to care? I love them. You love them. I believe the whole world loves someone who is completely giving in purity of purpose. I introduce to you our co-founder, Bill Wilson from New York.
We of AA stand upon the threshold of our fourth decade. In the passage of our short years, we know that the time has arrived when our society stands wholly on its own, supported by the grace of God. This fellowship could never have been born in the first place, nor prospered since, without the ministrations of its great friends. We are gathered here to pay tribute, especially to one, and if I may avail myself of this unique hour, which will never return to any of us, I would like to make it inclusive and say what I believe this society owes the church. The succession from the Master himself has brought to us light by which we may see, and love by which we may try to emulate. You know, to me, the keynote of this occasion was so well struck when the prayer of Francis opened it. And when Eddie Gordon said that it was this outpouring of wisdom and love that finally opened the eyes of him toward a faith that worked, I was one step further removed. In my early days, in faith, I had none, and virtually no instruction. As a child in a little Vermont town, I looked with a certain amount of awe the church was mysterious. Some said to me that it was even fearsome. I'm happy to say my parents didn't say this, but it was in the air. So the long sequence of events, which I have recounted so often about myself,
finally culminated in my being given a sudden illumination, if you like, in which I apprehended a small fraction of that ultimate reality that is God. Truly a gift of grace, for I had no faith as a conditioned precedent. I just cried in the dark as a child, alone, to whatever God there might be. So I received the gift of faith of sorts. I still knew nothing of religion. In fact, at such a late time as the book was done, I was toying with the childhood idea that Catholicism is a superstition, particularly of the Irish. Over at Dr. Bob's house, the childhood memories of a few sessions at Congregational Sunday School were revived. When there we listened to Ann read from James that faith without works is dead. But like Ed, I think the beginning of my appreciation was made when I first contacted one of the great of this wondrous church. And he came to me across the centuries through the words of a biography written, I think, by a non-Catholic. And at length my eyes fell upon this prayer, which says this, Bill, is all that you or anyone could possibly aspire to. And just like the newcomer who from Central AA saying of his sponsor, this guy practices what he preaches, so did I look upon Francis as I moved out of the kindergarten and into, mayhap, the first grade excursion program. The book was done after this experience. As we know, the ideas that went into it stemmed from many sources. But always there was central in my mind this man of poverty, this man of wisdom, this man of love almost beyond compare. Then came my next experience. By that I mean an experience in which the language of love was so spoken from the heart
that had reached me deeply. After his book came out, I received a letter from a Jesuit in the Sodality at St. Louis. He called himself Ed Down. And he sent me a short piece that he had written in the Sodality magazine after looking through our new book, which had been launched as a chip on the great world tide of alcoholism. And Ed had looked at the book, and he was saying to the Catholic world, folks, this is good. Come get it. It was some time yet before I saw this man. One night in the clubhouse at New York, Lois being out, this being the only place, by the way, that we could live, being evicted from the house because the book went broke, etc., etc. It was empty that night except I upstairs with an imaginary ulcer attack, feeling awfully sorry for myself. I thought how unappreciative these drunks are of my efforts. And as I so meditated, slightly off the St. Francis beam, it must be admitted, old Tom Mulhall, an ex-farmer, who was a caretaker, clumped up the rickety stairs, and he says, Bill, he says, there's some damn bum from St. Louis wants to see you. I said, my God, I'm not another. Well, he wants to see you. I might background this scene now coming into view by telling you that it was 10:30 at night that the sleet was beating down on the tin roof over my head. And it was wild and bitter and windy outside. And I soon heard his step more faltering than Tom's on the stairs. And I still lay on the bed. After all, why should I get up for a bum from St. Louis? And then the figure stood in the door. And he wore a battered black hat. And his overcoat was drawn up short. And only when he sat down, paying no attention to my lack of courtesy, I laid on the bed. He threw back his collar and I saw that he was a clergyman. He said, hello, Bill, I'm Father Ed, your fidelity friend in St. Louis. It's been nice to exchange some letters with you. So, of course, I got to be all attention. I began to dimly realize what he had done. So, for once, I didn't talk. I listened. And were you to hear a recording of what he said and my brief replies,
You would say that it was a very superficial visit. But as this man spoke, the room began to fill up with a sense of presence. Until I could not mistake the fact that here was one of the blessed, one of the many blessed of this church, of which I yet knew nothing. And that began a communication in the language of the heart with Ed that only ended when it came to my 25th anniversary. As many of you know, he had been hideously crippled. He had an unheard-of blood pressure. He had embolisms. He had all sorts of things. And when people would commiserate with him, Ed would good-naturedly say, "Well, you know, it isn't a bad deal to be this way." He said, "You know, people pity you so much." This is how he talked. And it came to my 25th anniversary. And he brought an oxygen mask so he wouldn't suffocate in the plane. And the next day was a cold day, a little reminiscent of that first evening in the club. But we sat in an apartment in the hotel and we chatted about times gone by. And Ed said to me, "Bill, I think that I should go over to St. Pat and say a man." He said, "I presume you have plenty to do." This was his gentle insinuation that I might go over. And we went out in the vestment room, and I saw him don his garb for mass. And then he said it for me. And then he went back to St. Louis. And a few weeks later, in an AA's home, still talking in this singular language of the heart that was his, he died. Only, of course, he didn't. We know, all of us, that he dwells in one of our Father's mansions. Where many great gentlefolk have gone before. Now, I wish to tell you about Sister. I don't suppose I ever laid it out as plainly as I'm going to. I used to say that she was a female Ed Dowling. But I think that misses the mark by a great deal. She too has her uniqueness, her God-given way of speaking in this language of the heart. This is not singular to her. I find all through the church people who do that. It happens to be because of my special relation and propensity, perhaps, with Father Ed and Sister, that I would say that these are the channels through which I learned meaning of the church, so far as I have learned it. It has now gone down into history. What this great partnership has meant in terms of numbers, some finding some 5,000 having passed through here between 1940 and 1950, in that unforgettable and never to be duplicated partnership of Dr. Bob and Sister. And then we all know about the ward at Charity, where she carried on and ministered to 10,000 more. Numbers have a certain impact, but it is not within anybody's comprehension to know. Only God knows this. What the inner meaning of her life has been to those she ministered to, and who in turn ministered to still others. In terms of misery ended, in terms of spiritual growth set underway, and yes, if you like, in terms of salvation, only our Lord could know this goal. And I suppose in saying this, as best I can, it's the understatement of the year. Now, as you see, I have, for this very special occasion, dispensed with protocol, and as a symbol of the AA tradition, which sort of curtly warns us against endorsements and alliances, I have taken my departure from that too, because this is between us folks here, and we know what we are talking about. Now downstairs, there are a few words on a plaque that was placed there a good many years ago. I think Dr. Bob was alive at the time, and is gone, if my memory serves me right. That plaque bears this title, Ingratitude. The friends of Dr. Bob and Ann Smith affectionately dedicate this memorial to the sisters and to the staff of St. Thomas Hospital. At Akron, the birthplace of Alcoholics Anonymous, St. Thomas Hospital became the first religious institution ever to open its doors to our society. May the loving devotion of those who labored in our pioneering time be a bright and wondrous example of God's grace everlastingly set before us all. And so, way back there, we tried to say the things that I have again been trying to say. As a matter of fact, somebody asked who wrote that poem. And I said, confessing very quickly, well, I did, and I think it's a pretty damn good one. That was a piece of great fun, because I couldn't say what it means, and I still can't. Now, at the time we put that testament of A's affection on the wall for this hospital, for this order, and impliedly to this wondrous partnership between church and us, I very naturally wanted to slip in Sister Ignatius' name. And you know she has a way of being firm. Oh, no. She only had to say it once. I'd heard it before. So it doesn't show downstairs. A while back, thinking of the blessings that have rained upon us from this place and from charity and from this church, I concocted a private plot of my own and remembered that she wouldn't appear on here. I said, I'm not going to ask her this time. I'll cook up another little crack, trying again to say what we think of her and this order and the meaning of it. And I'll just privately take it out of her. And I will say, I realize, dear sister, that this is a presumption, but here it is. So she looked at it, and she couldn't say, oh no, because it was a fait accompli. So the result was that a very small group met down in the dining room, and it was presented. And by James, I think it was her intention to stow it away in the trunk. I don't know whether nuns have lockers under their beds or not. Well, we were coming down to visit Mother House, so I believe I saw to it that we toted the new plaque along. And when the good mother over there, set eyes on her, she looked rather sharply at Sister and said in her most authoritarian manner, Sister, you are to hang this on the wall in your office. Well, this is it. Again, I'm trying to say it, this. Pray members throughout the world. Because were they in my place, they would all say. And this testament reads in full. In gratitude for Sister Mary Ignatia, on the occasion of her golden jubilee, dear sister, we of AA look upon you as the finest friend and the greatest spirit that we may ever know. We remember your tender ministrations to us in the days when AA was very young.
Your partnership with Dr. Bob in that early time created for us a spiritual heritage of incomparable worth. In all the years since, we have watched you at the bedsides of thousands, and so watching, we have perceived ourselves to be the beneficiaries of that wondrous light which God has always sent through you to illumine our darkness. You have tirelessly tended our wounds. You have nourished us with your unique understanding and your matchless love. No greater gift of grace than this shall we ever have. Speaking for all AA members throughout the world, I say, may God abundantly reward you according to your blessed work, now and forever.
The first of May, I took
and there was roping in there. But it has given me much time for thought and prayer, too. So I decided to at least come today and get the thrill of seeing you all once again. Oh, I'm sure that I'll be around for a while with Cross Council, but if he doesn't keep me very long, well, anyway, we'll always remember these lovely meetings, which I always enjoy. And may God bless you and keep you faithful, because that is the greatest gift that I can receive, to hear that a person has been loyal to his duties and faithful at his meeting, and given the good example of sobriety to others. May God bless you and keep you as you are today. And I expect you back to go to your hall in a two or three weeks. And then don't be afraid to come. And I'll always be happy to see you. And God bless you. And keep you.
Recorded. And what is heavens above? The alcoholics are again most privileged to maybe know of a sister in Asia. Thank you. I believe that we have a Dr. Scuderi in the audience. Dr. Tom Scuderi, I understand, is here. Dr. Scuderi has administered, of course, help to the alcoholic in pajamas. If Dr. Scuderi is here, will he please rise so we can recognize him?
Sisters and friends, Father, this took me by surprise. I just wanted to see Sister Ignatia. Time has passed. I was a young intern. Sister Ignatia was here. 31 years ago I came here. And I can assure you, it wasn't all gravy when they brought the first AA member here at St. Thomas. Sister was criticized by some, but she didn't give up. I was a great friend of Sister Ignatia. And when Dr. Lombardi died 2 years and 3 months ago, I took the work for 3 months. Mr. David was here, and she left. Then Sister Agnes came in, and Sister Bridget. I became so interested in the work, I saw what Sister Ignatia, Dr. Bob Smith, the AA Society has performed during the past 29 years since I took the job. And I'm still on it. And believe it or not, one thing I like about the work, you meet real people. They learn to be humble. They realize they were born to die. They also realize that alcohol is a disease, a dread disease. It's a disease just like cancer, tuberculosis. And the average man that drinks doesn't realize that he owes an awful lot to God Almighty. That he blessed him with health and a good body. in a few years on Earth. So what does he do when he drinks heavy? Tries to hide himself from trouble. Tries to run away from it. He slaps the good Lord in the face by saying, I don't want your eyesight, I don't want your health, I don't want your good heart, I don't want your blessings. I'm going to kill the temple that contains my soul by drinking. I realized one thing during the past 2 years, if the men and women who come through the alcoholic ward know a little more about their anatomy, about their body, and what alcohol does to them, they think twice before they take that first drink after going through the ward. Sister Ignatia, I never thought I'd be here 31 years later to say hello to you. Many of our friends are gone. I've wanted to come up and see you many a time. You're always good to me as a young man. God bless you. I'm glad to be here with you today. Thank you.
I vow to oppose our meeting and our discussion for this evening. There are some tributes and thanks that I would like to give, if I have your permission. I would like to thank the members of the St. Thomas Group who have worked very hard with me in order to make this a special tribute, a dedication to Sisters of Charity, observance of our AA Founders Day, and to Bill Wilson, our co-founder. Thank you so much. Without the help of these boys and these women that were behind me, I can guarantee you I'd be pretty confused. I want to thank again and pay a debt of gratitude, not also for myself, but the members of the St. Thomas Panel Group, to Madeline Voorhees and to Louis Carabine, for the effort that they must have had to achieve the group that we still have today. Thank you so very much for making the road a little easier for us today. I would like to address the new man or woman who may be present here tonight. You, of course, are our most important guest. You, of course, are the only person who has the privilege to seek a new way of life, sobriety, sanity, and a certain sense of security. And we don't advertise the Society of Alcoholics Anonymous. You have to see it and feel it. And then, of course, you learn to believe in it. This is our Society of Alcoholics Anonymous. Many thanks to all members of all groups who made this a success. Thank you for being present. And I would like to ask, before Father Pat closes our meeting with a prayer, I would like to ask that we, as members of Alcoholics Anonymous, repeat a prayer that we have had to repeat so many, many times together. And this prayer is a special dedication to the memory of those, of course, who have paved the way for us. To a Dr. Walter Kunz, to a Henrietta Stiverling, to the neurologist, to the theologist, to all of those who made this our foundation of Alcoholics Anonymous. Would you please stand and repeat with me in unison our serenity prayer? God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Father Pat, could you please close our meeting with a prayer?
Well, that's a very good suggestion. We have gone through with many compliments and many thanks. And here nearing the end. We haven't had a proper introduction and praise and a complimentary remark in regard to the chairman of the St. Thomas panel group, Gloria. All this work has been done by her, and here she is, just closing out in calm humility. So, Gloria, in the name of all those present, thanks for this beautiful session. Oh God, the beginning and the end of all things, you who are always the same and whose years do not fail, we now, at the close of this program, give you our thanks and offer you our deepest gratitude for the fatherly care with which you have watched over us during the past, for the many times you have shielded us from evils of soul and body, and for the numberless blessings, both temporal and spiritual, which you have showered upon us. May it please you to accept the homage of our grateful hearts, which we offer to you. Amen.